This is Gamerverse, all things gaming, geeky, and good.
I made $50,000 in the stock market today.
I had twins.
I went to the poor farm.
I'm on Millionaire Acres. That's life.
The game of life. The game of life. You will learn about life when you play the game of life. First you start out with $2,000 and a car.
I got a car.
You got a car. Then you may go straight to college just to get a lot of knowledge.
Harvard.
Or to business if you think you'll go as far.
I'll be a star.
You may go far. The game of life. The game of life.
Pay me. I'll get revenge.
You'll get revenge.
I got revenge.
You got revenge. Milton Bradley makes the best games in the world. So play.
Welcome to Gamerverse. I'm your host, Erica, and this minisode is going to tell you why the presidential nominee's fashion choice had a huge effect on board gaming. I think most people get their start in board gaming playing things like Monopoly, or maybe if your family was a little more diabolical, you might have tried to massacre each other in Risk. Maybe you have fond memories of sending people back to start or filling cars full of kids in the game of life. Tabletop gaming has changed dramatically during its history, but it was a little known event that kind of kicked things off with North American game makers. So this story is mostly about Milton Bradley, but technically it's also about Abraham Lincoln. In 1860, Milton Bradley was about 24 and at the time was running a lithograph business, which was the only way you could mass produce pictures at the time. The lithograph that he was selling at the time was the presidential candidate Abraham Lincoln, but this was his portrait before he decided to grow a beard. They were selling really well and bringing Bradley some good money until a little girl named Grace Vidal decided to write to Abraham Lincoln. In her letter, she suggests that if he were to grow a beard, more people would vote for him. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that was the sole reason he did grow a beard, but it's kind of adorable. And Lincoln did, in fact, grow a beard right after that. And this beard became synonymous with Lincoln, who was getting a lot of attention at the time, which also meant his picture was starting to appear in newspapers. So all of the people who bought Bradley's lithograph images wanted their money back because it just wasn't the same. Lithographs are not cheap, so this almost ruined Bradley. And just to understand how well he took this event, he burned all the images that got returned. At least maybe it was therapeutic. So now he has a lithograph business that just lost a ton of money and has nothing to print. One day he goes to George Tapley, who is a good friend of his, looking for some advice. And what turned out to be an extremely serendipitous moment was that the two of them were playing a Puritan game that Tapley owned. And Bradley realized that he could make way less boring than the one that they were playing. He had this idea for a much more mass market appeal. This became the checkered game of life. And you have to understand that there really weren't a lot of ways to entertain yourself in 1860. This game looks exactly like a checkerboard, but each alternate spot has a life event on it. And your goal is to get to the ripe old age of 50, or you could end up in ruin. Now, there was also a spot labeled suicide, which sadly might be a reflection of the time, as much as the living to 50 being your goal. So he starts selling this game in New York and he sells 40,000 copies in his first weekend. But I have to say, Bradley might have the worst luck in some ways when it comes to timing. The Civil War breaks out almost right after this, and the general mentality of people is that games are to be put away because this isn't the appropriate time to play games when the country is at war. Funny enough, on the flip side of this though, is that soldiers were really bored on their downtime and needed things to keep them occupied. So Bradley uses the opportunity. He essentially creates the first travel-sized pocket game. You could play checkers or chess, and of course, since it's already set to a checkerboard pattern, the checkered game of life. Soldiers loved these games. When the war ended, people felt ready to play games again, and Bradley started madly printing out the checkered game of life. He did make a few other games during this time, but they really didn't become popular, which is why you've never really heard of them and why they're not around today. Though, this did spur him to start the Milton Bradley Company, which went on to make Candyland, Guess Who, Battleship, Twister, and all kinds of family classics. Board games are still 18 by 18 inches traditionally because that was the size of cardboard that could fit inside the lithograph machine. It's so funny to think that none of this might have happened, and tabletop gaming might not have sprung up to be what it is today without Abraham Lincoln's beard and Milton Bradley's lithograph machine. Thank you for listening to this minisode about how Abraham Lincoln's beard had a lasting effect on board gaming. You can follow the Game Reverse podcast on Twitter at GameReverseCast. And you can follow me personally, Erica, at Frenemy Games, and follow along with my tabletop game designing adventures. We'd love you to subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or YouTube. And if you could leave us an iTunes review and show us a little love and help other fantastic geeks like yourself find the podcast. We also have an email address if you want to send any thoughts, inspirations, or ideas for future episodes. It's at thegamereversepodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to support the podcast and help it keep going, we have a Patreon, and you can visit that at patreon.com/gamereversepodcast. Until next time, gamers, this is Game Reverse, all things gaming, geeky, and good.